Welcome back to another episode of the Parenting Pathway Podcast. This is your host, Pastor Dave Carl. Today, we're going back to finish up our conversation with Nathan Kosurek on helping your kids with disappointment and loss. In part one, we talked about what is your goal in dealing with loss, whether it's just you or anyone you're trying to assist along the way. Now, pain avoidance is not a good goal. And stuffing it down is a terrible goal. A good goal would be to feel your feelings and get to where you have processed your loss in light of knowing God wants to help us with it. Today, we finish up with steps to moving through disappointment and loss. We're going to jump right back in where we left off last time, so grab on to something solid.
If they've experienced a bad thing, it would be terrible to tell them, well, that's not bad enough to feel bad about. Get over it. And David Kessler would say the worst loss is your loss. Mm. Like the worst thing that happened to me is really, really bad for me.
I think it's really significant when he said that, because when you think about the coronavirus pandemic and the things that our kids are dealing with, And the losses, the disappointments, call it a loss, call it a disappointment, whether it's something that is gone forever or whether there's hope that someday you'll get to experience that thing that you lost again. I was just making a list of some of these things. And as I made this list, I thought about it, you know, how it must be so much heavier than we even realize right now. Things like music concerts, theater shows, when you're talking about sporting events and school events, pep rallies, even something as simple as going to school and sitting around the lunch table with your friends each day, that's not going to happen. School dances, think about church things like mission trips and camps and retreats.
Wait, no dances?
No school dances.
Yeah, I need a moment here. I wasn't ready for that one.
Unless it's like your middle school, Dave, where y'all stood on the wall and looked at each other. There's no school dances.
Totally socially distanced. Yeah, I was so socially distanced from the girls. It was perfectly safe at the time.
Yeah. So I think when you're talking about the quote you just mentioned, it might not seem like a big deal to us because we know you're going to get to have lunch with friends again. Just because you're not getting to eat lunch in the cafeteria at school anymore isn't the end of the world. But it wouldn't be helpful for us to treat that thing very flippantly and as if it's no big deal. You know, it actually is a hard thing and a disappointing thing for them to deal with.
I think that there's a pivot here that might seem unnecessarily Christian, but when something goes wrong, because I'm a believer and everything that comes to me comes through the fingers of God, He has vetted everything that comes through. Everything is an invitation. So if I'm in the ninth grade and I can't go to the dance, or I'm a senior and I can't play football in my senior year, okay, that's a loss. You don't get that back.
That's right.
And that could be like, I can't breathe at the thought of the thing that I've lived for is going to be taken away. I can't get it back. The scouts, or I don't even know how, you know, that seems like very profound, because this will affect your college game perhaps, and on and on and on. Despite all of that, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, I know that God is ready to redeem something in this.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point.
I don't know what it is, and it might not be, I may not figure it out for a while.
Yeah.
But also in that podcast, we should just probably link the podcast because it was so darn good, but he had a metaphor of a story, and it's just a story and it's just a metaphor, but there was a room full of people, and there was this magnificent banquet was laid out on the table.
Yes, the long spoon illustration.
And each person was starving. They were gaunt and sick, and they all had spoons, and they didn't say exactly, but I'm going to say the spoons were 6 feet long. And for whatever reason, you could only hold it on the handle because you could choke up and, and solve the problem. Yeah. But you could only hold the spoons by the handle and could not scoop any food and feed themselves. The spoons were too long. And everybody was starving in the presence of this banquet. And they described that is hell. You are in hell. Well, the next room over, same banquet, and everybody's laughing and enjoying themselves. And as you know, in my mind's eye, the camera moves into the next room. They also have 6 foot long spoons, and they're feeding each other.
Yeah.
They are well fed.
Yeah.
They're grateful. They're helping each other. There's more food than they can eat. But what looks like a tragedy, if I can take myself out of the center of it, there is something, as a believer, there is an invitation from God in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was learning and if I was training my kids to start looking for the invitation, and that probably means what can I do for somebody else?
Yeah, that's the hidden blessing of the crisis, right? You get to care about other people.
I'm taken out of myself. That's good for me. I'm helping someone else. That's good for them. They are rescued in a sense, and now they're going to take care of me, and it's just kind of swirls around. And I think
that's huge. Coming to a point where you know your own need and that you have limits, and other people, you can be dependent and interdependent on one another. That's a massive lesson when it comes to teaching us resilience.
I think that's a very important concept, because after learning how to use a 6 foot spoon, I can go out into the world and I'm not worried about the next banquet I go to.
That's right.
I've learned this. I'm not afraid of the next loss or the next hardship, because I've figured some stuff out. And if I haven't figured out exactly what I need in the next loss, I've got 4 tools that worked in the past. So I'm not as nervous about the next ones, because I kind of feel like I can solve some stuff. I understand that God is in this, and terrible theology is if God were in it, I would not be experiencing loss. That would be
exactly
terrible
right.
theology. You will experience loss.
Yeah.
And God will be there with us in it. And I don't have to live in fear now of my next disappointment and loss and the death of someone close to me, which will be terrible. And I don't want anybody to think, if you figure this out, you'll just glide through everything.
Yeah.
But even in your grieving of this, of the your worst loss yet, you will know that I have recovered from past losses that were much smaller than this. So I have some confidence that not today, not this week, perhaps soon, maybe next year, I will be okay.
Right.
Because I think the fear, and you started out with this, the fear of loss can be more destructive than the loss.
And you know what I think surprises us too as parents is how deeply we feel the disappointments and the losses of our kids. Maybe that doesn't surprise most parents. Sometimes it ambushes me, and I didn't expect to feel so sad when my son doesn't get to play soccer, or I didn't expect to feel so sad when they don't get to walk across the stage, or whatever the loss is, you know. And so on the one hand, we're talking about how do we equip them for the next crisis and a lifetime of dealing with disappointments. But on the other hand, it's so helpful for us too to think about where do we go, and how do we find resilience? Dr. Kessler was saying that he's this expert in grief, and yet in the tragic loss of his own 21-year-old son, he was just a dad. You know, here he is, this expert in grief. So he knows the stages. He's walked with people through difficulties. And yet, as he is experiencing the depth of that grief himself, he says he didn't want to do anything, you know? And maybe that is the nugget that is so valuable for all of us, is to allow it to hurt, allow it to do its work. If we're going to look at it through the lens of scripture, we're waiting on God, you know, and that famous Isaiah quote in chapter 40, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So there's these wonderful promises, but it doesn't make the experience any easier.
And when that's the goal, you're starting to go off the road.
Mm.
If the goal is, and we can try to encapsulate a few things here, so we can let everybody go get lunch and not listen to a 4-hour podcast. But the things to think about are, what is my goal in helping my child deal with loss? It, I would suggest, is I want them to recognize that there is a holy invitation somewhere in this. They will grow from and grow toward God from if they do this well. I think that's an important aspect. Mm-hmm. I think a second one is, you should never shame someone for their feelings.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But we don't want them to get swallowed up in their feelings.
Yeah, that was my original question.
And I think that the prospect of meaning and redemption assists in giving us some borders.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this, I want you to feel sad if you're sad. I don't want you to pretend like you're not sad. If you're sad, I want you to be sad. I don't want you to go into despair. Mm-hmm. Be sad. This is a loss. Your friend moved away, or there's no football for you this year. Or that's, you're supposed to feel sad in sad situations.
But not that's adopt a victim. Healthy. Right. Not adopt a victim identity where I lost my senior season, therefore I will forever be a victim of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, I'll never become anything. I'm going to miss the path of my success as now lost to me, and I will never recover. That's despairing.
Right.
But if God is in this, there is something in this for me, and I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to look for it. I'm going to perhaps know that everybody else on my team is feeling the same way, and they might be spiraling in ways that I'm not, and they need me, so I can find meaning. I'm going to look for meaning, probably initially for somebody else,
right.
And of course that helps them, that helps me, and so this spiritual perspective, I think, is incredibly important. And if this is done even partially well, then there's less fear of the next one. And that's the resilience.
That's the resilience.
So every invitation from God is a good thing, but they often come in bad situations.
And can I add this thought to that? It's as if in every circumstance, God is inviting us into some level of gratitude. So even in a situation of tragedy, we can be angry about what we've lost, and certainly yes. That is part of the grieving process.
That is absolutely.
Yeah. And we can also be grateful for the blessing of what we had. So I think that's one point that Dr. Kessler also made about the yes. loss of his 21-year-old son. He came to a point where he discovered gratitude for the 21 years he had with him, and he felt it was better than never having had him at all.
Right. And I don't think that happened in the first weeks.
No.
I think that came later. But yes, that's a pivot point. We want our kids to feel their feelings, not be overwhelmed by them, not be afraid of the future, not be afraid of future losses, and that God is using everything that happens in us and around us to draw us closer to Him. And it's going to be okay eventually.
That's right. But trouble will come, and trouble's going to pass.
And if it's really bad right now, that's okay. It's okay to feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that. Like when I feel bad, I panic. Because sure. I sort of believe I'm not supposed to feel bad.
Right. Well, what is this happening to me?
The panic about that is worse than the bad that I was feeling beforehand. So, yeah. Well, thank you for solving all of the problems on this.
Well, and I'm sorry for disrupting your summary there at the end. I feel like you were really on track, and then I went off roading again.
Well, at least it wasn't another 3-hour animation of of talking animals that went badly.
Oh, I've got so many of those.
That came out like in the 60s. That was, the kids don't even know about Bambi.
We can learn so much.
Now they can. Now they can delve into that. Thank you, Nathan, for your wisdom and your capacity to understand what other people are feeling. And I've seen it happen where you're understanding it before they do. And that's a gift. So Absolutely. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Parenting Pathway podcast. There is healing awaiting us. We need to be open to it, and in any of the disguises, in any of the wrappings that it might come in, we serve a loving God who wants nothing more than to have us in His arms, intimately growing stronger, more healthy, and more in love with Him. And that worldview helps me understand apparent chaos and loss. And if we can aim our kids at that, I think they will do better, and we will do better, and we will find ourselves ever closer to God. So remember, as we close out our podcast, don't do parenting and don't do life alone. Thanks for being with us.